I don't know, well-known college campus in our community.
Yeah, it's a Catholic university.
Hello, this is your Midnight Marauder program. I'm on the front of your cover. I will be enhancing your cassettes and CDs with certain facts that you may find beneficial. The average bounce meter for your Midnight Marauder program will be in the area of 95 BPM. We hope that you will find our presentation precise, bass heavy, and just right. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Rachel T.
Hi, I'm Eva.
Hi, I'm Rachel G.
We are all Girl Scouts, and this is WGXC ACRA.
The world is changing, and we must change with it. The Thingularity Radio Show will begin emphasizing digital rights and protection in the coming age. Our new segment will be called Defense Against the Dark Arts. We will provide tips and strategies for cloaking your online and actual footprint. Find us on WGXE first Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. or find us on your schedule at wgxe.org.
Wave Farms WGXE is made possible in part by the generous support of Nathan of Hudson, New York. WGXE supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You, too, can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxe.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The Catskill Food Pantry is located in the Parish Hall of St. Luke's Episcopal Church at 50 William Street in Catskill. The pantry is open to the public every Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Healthy food is a right. For more information, please feel welcome to visit the pantry. Call us at 551-299-2456. Check the website at catskillfoodpantry.org or connect with us on Facebook at Catskill Food Pantry.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, September 24th. Local early morning temperatures range from 60 degrees in Tannersville to 66 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 64 degrees. Air quality will be moderate. Pollen levels will be low. Foggy early this morning. Rain chances will be low, but present, especially this afternoon. We get a high of 73 happening at 3 p.m. Overnight, chances for rain go up and temperatures go down, hitting 62 degrees. It's going to feel humid with the dew point following very close by. Tomorrow, more rain chances, especially in the afternoon. We will probably hear some bangs of thunder. We get a high of 74 at 5 p.m. Overnight, rain begins to relax and we get a low of 62 degrees. Friday, low chances of rain all day with a high of 78 at 2 p.m. Saturday, we still have chances of rain around and a high of 77. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 5:01 a.m., low tide at 11:36 a.m., and high tide, once again, at 5:25 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 72 degrees and the tide strength is high. Sunset today will be at 6:37 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:41 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 1%. Plasma winds will be average at 549 kilometers per second with a thin density of less than 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently solar max standard with an S1 level noise floor. There are low chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 172, and this has been the better weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
if they did it to me, they can do it to anyone. Actually, the law allows the USCIS to terminate anyone's asylum.
Cincinnati Children's Hospital chaplain Ayman Suleiman says he was held in ICE detention for 72 days before his asylum status was reinstated. Immigration officials initially seemed to want to use his case as a precedent for reopening asylum cases, arguing the Egyptian former journalist was affiliated with terrorists. After the case was abruptly dropped, Suleiman said it shows the fragility of migrant rights, which in theory are protected by law. In Dallas, ICE recently detained a prominent Muslim leader who's lived in the U.S. for 3 decades. Attorneys with the Muslim Legal Fund of America argue the government mischaracterized his charitable work and denied him due process. At the United Nations, President Donald Trump criticized the $370 million in food, shelter, and other aid the UN gives to migrants.
Your countries are being ruined. The United Nations is funding an assault on Western countries and their borders. Think of that. The UN is supporting people that are illegally coming into the United States, and then we have to get them out.
He warned that countries supporting migration are going to hell and pressed for ending what he called the failed experiment in open borders. Also at the UN General Assembly, several European allies announced they're recognizing a Palestinian state in response to what many call genocide by Israel. The White House pushed back, calling it a reward for Hamas. After imposing a huge fee for the H-1B visas, the administration is now proposing to scrap its lottery and replace it with a weighted system favoring higher-paid applicants. Immigration attorneys warn the change could serve big corporations, leaving early career workers and startups behind. Trump continues to blame the, quote, radical left for the shooting of conservative activist Charlie Kirk and has issued an order designating the Antifa anti-fascist ideology as a domestic terrorist organization. Civil liberties groups say the move could permit attacks on the funding of a wide range of nonprofits. And Amy Antonucci with New Hampshire Peace Action says it's intentionally misleading.
What we'd really rather be doing is the real work of pushing back against the actual violence happening in this country, but for our group, particularly in our name abroad.
With privatization possible, Alabama advocates say keeping the Tennessee Valley Authority in public hands would lower power bills and reinforce democracy and consumer control. Adam Keller is with the Alabama Arise.
Across the South and across the country, we can see the real difference. Folks who are served by TVA have more affordable electricity. And very importantly, we as the public actually have input over what happens with TVA because it is a public power system.
I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
We'll be right back. For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. Congress is being urged to expand and streamline the USDA's rural development program that has helped local communities grow and prosper. Potter County, Pennsylvania Commissioner Paul Himmel told the House Agriculture Subcommittee the 50-year-old program has provided $8 million for projects in his community, but it needs better support and consolidation.
Allowing those of us with limited local resources to quickly secure funding for time-sensitive local needs.
The Trump administration has cut personnel at local USDA offices. Former Deputy Agriculture Secretary Sochiel Torres-Small testified the program now lacks the authority and the technical support, including engineers, to handle projects she calls vital for a bright rural future.
Rural people have higher rates of suicide, fewer doctors, less treatment for addiction, lower wages. If we listen to the rural people we depend on, there's no limit to what rural America can accomplish.
A third of Idaho's counties are maternal care deserts, and new policies will leave more rural mothers without care. Alana Newman reports.
Idaho doctors say Medicaid cuts in the reconciliation bill, combined with Idaho's strict abortion laws, will make rural obstetric care worse. Physician assistant Amy Klingler had one patient with life-threatening appendicitis who didn't seek care because of the cost and because she thought it was an ectopic pregnancy.
She'd been sick for several hours and hadn't gone because she didn't have insurance. And then, of course, the fears about reproductive health care in Idaho.
The Bonner County Obstetrics Unit closed in 2023. One county over, OBGYN Dr. Brenna McCrummon says mothers now come to them and depend on Medicaid.
We have patients who drive 2 to 3 hours to come see us for prenatal appointments to deliver in Kootenai County.
I'm Alana Newman.
In Virginia, rural health care providers and Black clergy are working to improve medical access in communities long underserved. Dr. Leonard Edlow has been a pharmacist for 50 years and a minister for over 25. As pastor of the New Hope Fellowship in Hartfield, he says he's trying to build trust with people who've had terrible medical experiences.
It's about empowering people who've been told for so long, you can't do anything.
Gloria Burnett worked as a registered nurse in rural hospitals even before becoming a deacon at New Hope. She helps connect people to resources needed for long-term health and well-being, not just a quick fix. She notes resources are limited for the elderly living in rural places.
A lot of patients depend on the Medicaid for personal care services and doctor's office visits. I fear for them.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
Over and over I cried and cried, trying to reckon with
Listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The striking down of an 1877 Jim Crow era law making it a crime for citizens convicted of a felony to vote when their rights had not yet been restored was affirmed by a federal appeals court September 12th. Judges asked why the North Carolina legislature had not already repealed the law. Current North Carolina statute automatically restores rights to citizens returning from a felony sentence if they've completed any aspect of their jail time, any period of probation, post-release supervision, parole, and in some cases, payment of court debt, according to the North Carolina Board of Elections. The 1877 law, however, is still on the books. If a returning citizen doesn't understand those rules and mistakenly votes, that citizen could end up back in jail. A lower court struck down the law as unconstitutional in 2024, but inexplicably, the state appealed the case. The discriminatory use of that law was at issue in the trial. Evidence showed that between 2015 and 2022, approximately 63% of the people who were investigated for voting offenses were black, yet North Carolina's population is only 21% African American. While other voting statutes have been updated and the state claims it no longer prosecutes people under the law, judges questioned why such a law with discriminatory intent was never repealed. Indeed. We've linked to more on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1918. That was the day that the Industrial Workers of the World Union was banned in Canada. The Industrial Workers of the World Union had grown steadily in Canada, reaching as many as 10,000 members by 1911. The union was especially strong in mining, logging, and the textile industry. But backlash against the radical union was mounting in the United States and in Canada. Swept up in Red Scare hysteria, the governments of both nations targeted the IWW. With the beginning of World War I, labor unions that dared to threaten strikes or to speak out against militarization were met with harsh reprisals. By 1914, the Canadian IWW had less than 1,000 members. In May of 1918, 18 Canadian IWW leaders were arrested while they attended a meeting in Ottawa. Those arrested were immigrants and were sent to a labor internment camp. Then the Canadian government moved to ban the organization altogether. The ban against the IWW would last until the end of World War I. Those found to be affiliated with the union faced up to 5 years in prison. 13 other organizations were also banned in Canada, including the Chinese Labor Association and the Social Labor Party. The act further read that it was illegal to attend meetings, except religious services, during the present war at which the proceedings are conducted in the language of any country with which Canada is at war, or in the languages of Russia, Ukraine, or Finland. After the war, the IWW was once again allowed in Canada and slowly began to rebuild. But the scars inflicted during the war years took a lasting toll on the union's membership. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
Good news, good planet. Good news.
It's time now for your good news for a good planet. Sea sweaters. The fashion industry generates 92 million tons of textile waste a year, relying heavily on synthetic fabrics that shed microplastics into our oceans, our ecosystems, and our bodies. Environmentally conscious designers are turning to more sustainable materials. SeaCell is made from a combination of seaweed and wood pulp that is sustainable, breathable, non-irritating, durable, and biodegradable. They harvest their seaweed from the fjords of Iceland, where fishermen trim the tops of the plants every 4 years, allowing the rest to grow back. The wood pulp is sustainably collected from fast-growing beech and eucalyptus trees in Europe. The materials are combined with organic solvents, then spun into silk-like fibers and woven into a light, soft fabric, and unlike cotton, require no fresh water to produce. The material is especially suited to activewear, retaining less moisture and being more comfortable and breathable in hot weather. It keeps the wearers cool and stylish without shedding microfibers and other harmful materials into the environment. SeaCell is currently in use by a growing number of eco-friendly fashion companies, including Oliver Charles, Katia, and Lululemon. As production scales up to meet the global interest in seaweed products, SeaCell is set to make a big splash in the fashion industry without adding microplastics to the ocean. And this is Mandy from GoodNewsGoodPlanet.com.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. This summer marks 20 years since Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans. Since then, the city has built stronger levees and higher flood walls. But parts of New Orleans are sinking, so the city will likely need to continue